Translation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful? Dukkha madhye kona dukkha. Amongst all dukkha, kona dukkha, which dukkha is guru tara, the heaviest? Ramananda Roy responds. Ramananda Roy replied, apart from the separation from the devotee of Krishna, I know of no unbearable unhappiness. Krishna bhakta vihara dukkha, the sadness of being Krishna bhakta vihara, in separation from Krishna's devotees. Nahi dukkha para, there is no greater sadness or distress than this. Srila Prabhupada comments. Concerning this, the Lord states in the Vedic literature, Mam anuradya dukkharatha kutum basakta manasa satsanga rahito martyo vridha seva parichuta. A person who does not worship me, who is unduly attached to family and does not stick to devotional service, must be considered a most unhappy person. Similarly, one who does not associate with Vaishnavas or who does not render service to his superior is also a most unhappy person. We don't have a reference for that. Prabhupada says it's spoken by the Lord. But then he cites another verse. There is also the following statement in Brihad Bhagavatamrita 1.5.44. Sva jivanadikam pratyam Shri Vishnu jana sangata vichedena kshanam chatra nas sukham sam labhamahe. Out of all kinds of desirable things experienced in life of a living entity, association with the devotees of the Lord is the greatest. When we are separated from a devotee, even for a moment, we cannot enjoy happiness. And that is spoken by the Pandavas in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Narada Muni has said, you are the greatest servants of Hari. And they say, not us. Look, Krishna abandoned us. He made us kings of the earth and went away. And in the course of giving us a kingdom, so many great devotees died. Abhimanyu and Drona and Kripa and so many others. And we have been made bereft of their association. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. And so they make the statement, of all types of sadness, there is no greater sadness than being separated from the devotees. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyai Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, this conversation, we are at a stage in Rai Ramananda and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conversation. The whole conversation is wonderful. This section is also very tasty, very delicious. It is a rapid-fire question and answer. They have been discussing very lofty topics. This section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 8, it is amongst the most exalted and esoteric of all theology, of all, not just Vedic literature, but world theology. This is the most esoteric and wonderful. And now they have come to a concluding portion of their conversation, and it's this rapid fire. What is the best of this? What is the greatest of that? What is the most of something else? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is mining the opportunity of Rai Ramananda's high realization, his great depth of spiritual knowledge and wisdom and experience. And so he's asking about these questions about the most and the greatest and the best of so many different things, of song, of sadness, and the most sad experience of verses of scripture of like this. He's going through and he's taking this opportunity to learn from Rai Ramananda's discerning, spiritually enlightened mind. What is the best and the most and the greatest of all things? We have similar passages in other sections of Shastra in a different way, because the speaker is Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 7. So he also gives us a list of the best, the most excellent of all men. I am the monarch of all demigods. I am the king of the demigods, Indra, of all the archers. I am you, Arjuna, the greatest of bowmen. And so Krishna, he's giving us a list of all the best things in the universe and telling us that it's connected to him, or it is his energy. It depends on him. It has come from him. And we learn to see Krishna in excellence. We learn to understand that the most excellent of all things are those that are connected to Krishna. That's the answers that Ramananda Rai is giving. What's the worst of all sadness? Sadness is separation from devotees. What is the best of songs? The songs that glorify Radha and Krishna. So Krishna is doing the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita, learning, showing us that the best of everything is that which is connected with him. He is connected to everything. but we can feel his, we can marvel at his potency in the best of all things. And when we encounter the best of all things, we can say, this is just a spark of Krishna's potency. Because that's how he concludes the seventh chapter. He says, of all opulent and beautiful things, know them to be a spark of my splendor. As a child, I would walk each morning in our New Govardhan community in Australia. It's a hilly community. That's why it's called New Govardhan. Prabhupada approved that name for that community. Hills and a nice river at the bottom. And we had our school on one hill, the temple on the other hill, and a valley to pass through to reach the temple. And so I had a seva of dressing Prabhupada's murti each morning, which meant I had to leave earlier than the other children. We would be transported by a van from our ashram to the temple. But because I had to go early, I would walk from the school up to the temple. Temple was on a higher hill. The highest of all hills should be for Krishna. And so as I would walk up each morning, I would see the sun rising over the mountains. And it was so incredibly beautiful. Just gorgeous, the sun rising over the mountains. And I would see it and I would marvel at the beauty. And I would think to myself, if this is just a spark of Krishna's splendor, imagine how beautiful Krishna must be. And that was my morning meditation each day, just remembering, because of that description that Krishna gives us in the Bhagavad Gita, anything that is beautiful, everything that is wonderful, it is just a spark of my splendor. Krishna does the same thing for Uddhava Prabhu in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Different, some of the items are the same, some are different, but he also gives an extensive list and draws our attention to excellence, gives us the discernment to identify excellence. Vaishnavas are expert in all things, and they have fine attunement. And so Krishna gives us this list of the best of all things. And most importantly, he's explaining how the best of all these best things are me. They come from me. They depend on me. And you can see me in them. You see me in everything, but particularly you can see me in excellence. And therefore, anything that you are drawn to, anything that you are attracted to, it's Krishna. It's Krishna that you're attracted to. You might think that it's the sunrise, but it in fact is Krishna. So here, Ramananda Rai says the saddest of things is separation from Krishna. No. Krishna's devotees. Why devotees rather than Krishna? He could easily have all his other answers. For the most part, they will say the best of all songs is the song of Radha and Krishna. But here, rather than saying the saddest of things is separation from Krishna or forgetfulness of Krishna, he says the saddest of things is separation from Krishna's devotees. Any thoughts? Devotees are dear to Krishna, yeah? Sure. Devotees are dear to Krishna. Devotees... Yeah. You want to ask a question? I'm asking you a question. I want an answer. You have no answer. Okay. You can ask a question later. Yeah. Yeah, so devotees remind us of Krishna, right? We learn about Krishna through the devotees. We receive Krishna through the devotees. Yasyat prasadat bhagavat prasado. So the devotees are reminding us of Krishna. They are bringing us to Krishna. And in that sense, they are most dear. The devotee is most dear because the devotee is always reminding us of Krishna. We can be in Krishna's association and not recognize him. Our acharyas explain this. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains it. You can be with Krishna and not recognize. Well, who's that? You can see Radha, Gokula, Nanda and think, oh, nice marble statue. And that's what you get. Go to the British Museum. There are beautiful deities there. And millions of people are passing each day and they're thinking, oh, that's a cute statue. That's very nice art. But when we see the deity with the devotees and the devotees are saying, Krishna, there's so much love in the devotee's heart and we get to see, oh, this isn't just a statue. You are not a statue. You are directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. Yasoda Nanda Vardhanam. You are the son of Mother Yasoda. You are not a statue, Krishna. What's the verse, Govinda? We chant it when we go into the deity room. I haven't been in the deity room for a little while. So you are not a statue, Krishna. You are directly the son of Maharaj. And so we see Krishna through the devotees. We come to love Krishna through the devotees. And that's, therefore, the devotees are most dear. And therefore, the greatest sadness is to be separated from Krishna's devotees. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives the example of a crystal. He says that the crystal next to the sun expands the, it shows us all the colors of the sun. We get to see the colors of the rainbow when it's reflected through the crystal. And so, the devotee is that crystal next to Krishna, next to the Krishna sun. And when Krishna's rays are reflected through the devotees, we see all these wonderful colors and we can appreciate the sun even more. We can appreciate Krishna even more. And so, Rai Ramananda is therefore, with his wonderful, wonderful spiritual intelligence, he's saying us the saddest of things is separation from Krishna's devotees. This verse is most pertinent that it is coming on the day after Prabhupada's disappearance, right? So we can see the decorations are still there on the altar. Just yesterday, around the world, devotees have observed Prabhupada's 44th disappearance anniversary, 44 years ago. In a sense, it's not that long ago. In a sense, yes, we're feeling that something that happened in the past, but 44 years, it's also very recent, and we are so fortunate, particularly here at Bhaktivedanta Manor, there are so many disciples of Srila Prabhupada who had his association, and so when there is Prabhupada's disappearance day commemoration or observance, then you get to hear directly from those devotees of Prabhupada who knew him, who saw him, who associated with him, and your feeling for Prabhupada expands. Your love for Prabhupada grows because of seeing their love and their affection. For many, many years, I served Indrajuna Maharaj, and I was always with him on that day, Prabhupada's disappearance day. And senior devotees, he would always be invited to speak. And the thing was that he couldn't speak on Prabhupada's disappearance day. He would try. He probably still tries. Each year, he will stand up to say something about Prabhupada, but then his voice chokes up and his eyes fill with tears. And he will get a few words in and then sit down and ask somebody else to speak instead. Because the feeling of separation is so strong. Here in Bhaktivedanta Manor, we also have Prabhupada's rooms. And so we can also have that closeness and that feeling of intimacy with Prabhupada, which can then also make that feeling of separation very strong for us as well, that sense of longing. Prabhupada was here. He walked here. He spoke on that dais. In this room, he installed these deities. He slept just above us, just above the ceiling are his rooms. And so our sense of his presence is greater, is stronger by coming in this contact with him through this dham where he resided and through his devotees. What to do with the heart that feels the pain of separation from Krishna, from the devotee? We are given hints in Shastra. So when I traveled with Indrajuna Maharaj, he would also come each year and stay in the Bhaktivedanta Manor. And we would stay he would stay upstairs in the guest room. I would stay in the Brahmacharya Ashram. And in the guest room upstairs, I doubt that it's still there, there was someone had embroidered a poem into a piece of cloth and framed it, and it was on the wall in the guest / sannyasi life member room. It was a poem written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur when he visited the samadhi of Thakur Haridas at Swagadvara in Jagannath Puri. He wrote a poem of 10 verses, 10 stanzas, and someone had taken one of those verses and embroidered, reminding us of our, I think it was embroidered by a devotee feeling separation from Prabhupada, but taking solace in this poem, in how that feeling of separation can also be lived and mitigated. And it said, someone might guess the poem, he lives forever in his divine instructions and the... He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die. For thou art living... Oh, there it is. Yeah. Very good. He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die, for thou art living still and sound. The Vaishnava dies to live, and living spreads the holy name, right? That's what we generally say. If we look at the original text of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, holy life. Living spreads the holy life around. Holy name, holy life. So there we are. Wonderful. So there's our solace. He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is showing us how we can feel the presence of the Vaishnava, even in their departure, by connecting with their teachings, by connecting with their vani. The vapu and the vani of the spiritual master are two ways that we can associate. And of the two, most important is the vani, the teaching or the instruction. And so this devotee who had embroidered, devotees here, they have also embroidered. Painted, who have painted this poem, giving us some sense of solace. We find the same in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. Our problem, our situation in 2022 is that we're looking. 44 years ago, Srila Prabhupada passed away. We are feeling bereft. Some who got to serve him personally are feeling bereft, that is no longer possible. Those of us who came just after him, when he left, I was 4. So some of you were not born, and you are feeling some separation. Oh, I didn't get to see Prabhupada. If only a few years earlier I had been born or lived or met devotees, we might think that way. I just missed Prabhupada, the great Acharya. And so that's our situation. 5,000 years ago, what were the people feeling? Krishna has gone. Krishna has left. And they're worried. What will happen to the world? Bhumi Devi herself is crying tears. What will happen to me when we meet her at the end of the first canto of Bhagavatam? In the form of a cow, she's crying. Krishna has left. And earlier in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, the sages of Naimisharanya are also asking this question. How will people of Kali, what is the chance for the people of Kali now that Krishna has left? And what's the answer that Sutta Goswami gives? Loudly. Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, very good. That Krishna has, he's still available to us in the sound vibration. For thou art living still in sound, still available to us in Shabda Brahma. Who wants to give us the verse? Krishne. There you are, Govinda, loudly and boldly.
Of course you can. Sva Dhammapagati Jana Dharma Jana Dibisaha. Hello, Nasta Dishamika Puranarko Dhanoditaha.
Thank you. Yeah, English?
Now that Krishna's left, along with Dharma, where is Dharma and Jnana? It is within Srimad Bhagavatam, which is like the sun, something like that. Krishna's manifested as Srimad Bhagavatam, now that he's left.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we're good. Paraphrase translation. So now that Krishna has left for his own abode, along with Dharma, this Bhagavat Purana has arisen just like the sun to mitigate the darkness of ignorance in this Kali Yuga. So the solution for the people 5,000 years ago, that they can get Krishna's association through hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the same solution that applies for us today, 44 years after Prabhupada's disappearance. We can have his company, we can have his association by his teachings. For thou art living still in sound. We can connect with Prabhupada's instructions. What are his teachings? His teachings are vast. Today I would like to, for us to have a little meditation on some specific teaching, a specific pronouncement of Prabhupada, one that he made repeatedly over and again. In fact, if you count how many times Prabhupada uses this phrase, it's some 7,980 times in his teachings that he says, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very specific language, very specific and precise use of words. And I would argue, following Tamal Krishnamurti, who wrote a PhD thesis on this pronouncement, I would argue that one of the reasons why Prabhupada is such an effective preacher, successful preacher, the acharya who did what no other acharya did before him. He brought Krishna Bhakti from India to the West and took it all around the world. One of the reasons for this is his very consistent and precise and simple use of language to explain otherwise vague and abstract terms found in the Vedic literature in a very specific and consistent way, to translate them in a specific and consistent way that it can be unambiguous for us. What may have confused others before who read the Vedas, what may have confused even Hindus who grow up in a Vedic tradition as they hear vague and abstract terms, with Prabhupada, there is no ambiguity. There is no confusion or doubt because he's very precise and consistent with his use of terms. One of them being this Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tamal Krishna Maharaj makes the argument that Prabhupada makes this pronouncement or this phrase as a Mahavakya. What is a Mahavakya? A great statement, yeah? A great pronouncement, a great saying.
That is only made once.
And it's only, right, yeah. In the Bhagavatam, it's only made once, yeah? So Shankaracharya, he's in fact someone who emphasized Mahavakya. He found some particular passages of the Upanishads. This is one of his hermeneutic strategies. He wants to twist the Vedas, right, for Mayavad. So he finds a few aphorisms of the Upanishads and says, these are the Mahavakyas. Some examples?
Tattvamasi.
Tattvamasi, yeah, that's the one that's coming to my mind as well. Thou art that. Aham Brahmasmi, I think might be another. So he finds these Upanishadic phrases and he says, these are the Mahavakyas. I can't remember, 12 maybe, 8 Mahavakyas that he identifies. All Vedic teaching has to be interpreted in subordination to these. That's his trick, his hermeneutic cleverness. All Vedic teachings, they should be interpreted in subordination to Tattvamasi or Aham Brahmasmi and a few others like these. And so you can only draw, well, these Mahavakyas in his hands, then he draws Mayavad conclusions from everything. But for him, these Mahavakyas are not just a hermeneutic device, but also like a mantra. You meditate on it over and again, and in your meditation, you'll get spiritual insight. If I think, what does that mean? Tattvamasi. Tattvamasi. And so this should turn in our minds, and just by reflecting on the phrase itself, we get spiritual realization. So part of his argument is to establish that some portions of Shastra are more important than others. Would we agree with that? Some sections of Shastra are more important, others less important? I think so, yeah? We've all learned verses, right? How many verses in the Bhagavad Gita? 700. Who among us can recite all 700 verses? Maybe some can. Yes, half hand, maybe. So some may recite all 700, but for most of us, we have learned 15, 20, 30 verses. Those are key verses that we heard Prabhupada recite because they are important. And we use these verses to explain all of the Bhagavad Gita. Dehino sminyata dehe, natve vaham jatuna sam, matra sparshastu konteya. From the second chapter, actually a lot of our verses come from there, the second chapter of the Gita, or the ninth chapter we like, or the tenth chapter. And then the Chara Mantra for the Sri Vaishnavas is 1866. Sarva dharman parityaja, mamekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo, mukshayishyami masucha. And we can make an argument. This verse is coming at the conclusion. It is the paramount verse of the Gita, or maybe the one before, man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mamivais yasi yuktvaivam, okay? Or mamivais yasi satyam te pratijane priyosime, depending on where they're going with the version from the ninth chapter or from the 16th chapter, because the verse essentially appears twice in the Gita. It's so important, yeah? So we understand some portions of Shastra are more important than others, and we use these to understand and interpret the rest of Shastra. Shankara uses a similar strategy in a more with greater emphasis on those specific mantras, but Ramanuja Acharya does as well. And so, and then we do in our learning of Shastra. So that's a Mahavakya. Tamal Krishna Maharaj makes the argument that for Prabhupada, his Mahavakya, or one of his Mahavakyas, is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is the Sanskrit for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And is he, Prabhupada, the first to use this phrase over some nearly 8,000 times in his teachings? He's not, okay, yeah, thank you. He's not the first to use the phrase. Apparently, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a book called The Personality of Godhead. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, on occasion, used the phrase the Supreme Godhead or the Supreme Personality. But none used Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as frequently and consistently and emphatically as Prabhupada. And what is he translating? So some of you have suggested some phrases. We can go with, in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's analysis, it's very nice. He says, Purushottama, Purusha Uttama, Supreme Person. That works, right? So in a few cases, I think three instances in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna addresses Krishna as Purusha Uttama or Purushottama, the topmost person, the Supreme Person. It's not yet Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it's near. Another suggestion is Bhagavan. Bhagyavan iti Bhagavan. The one with all opulence is Bhagavan. Parasara Muni, he says, Bhagavan is one with unlimited beauty, unlimited strength, unlimited wealth, unlimited fame, unlimited detachment. That is Bhagavan. And in the Bhagavad Gita, we have Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. And Prabhupada translates it as the Supreme Personality of Godhead said. And where the name Krishna appears, so Purushottama Prabhupada translates as the Supreme Personality, or Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Bhagavan, he's also translating as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we can look somewhere else for this particular translation, even for Bhagavan and Purushottama, because there is also Bhagavan Narada, Bhagavan Shiva. They are also described or referred to in that way in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This can be maybe confusing. It has been confusing historically for people. Well, there are many gods. And so Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he goes then to the first canto, third chapter, where Sukadeva Goswami has given a long list of many of 24 different incarnations. Interesting, yeah. We say 10 incarnations of Vishnu. Read the Bhagavatam, 24 incarnations in the first canto, and in the in other portions you get 28 incarnations. So yeah, and then at the end of listing the 24, Sukadeva Goswami says, or is it Suta Goswami, who says, loudly, Ete Chamsakala Pumsa, Krishnas Tu Bhagavan Swayam. All of these above mentioned incarnations are either portions or portions of plenary portions of the Supreme Lord, but Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so Prabhupada takes this, as Govinda said, in the Bhagavatam it appears once. Previous acharyas, though, refer to it that once and use it as Jiva Goswami said, as a Paribhasa Sutra. A Paribhasa Sutra is a kind of guiding interpretive verse or aphorism. They use that, Jiva Goswami argues. This is the Paribhasa Sutra of the Bhagavatam. All the rest of the Bhagavatam should be understood in relation to this verse. But Prabhupada does with it much more than that. He elevates it. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj is arguing to the position of a Mahavakya. He's repeating it again and again. He's taking every opportunity where the text says Bhagavan, where the text says Purushottam, where the text says anything related to the Godhead. Prabhupada emphatically and clearly tells us this is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we hear this repetition, we also get clarity, this consistent and precise use of language, like a mantra that's repeated over and again. We get insight. And that's what a mantra does, or what a Mahavakya should do. It's not just an interpretive device, but it gives insight. It gives realization. Krishna is the Supreme Personality. He is a person, and he is the source. He is the Godhead. This cowherd boy in Vrindavan, the son of Nanda and Yasoda, the lover of the Brajagopis, of Sri Radha, the friend of the cowherds. This Krishna is the source of all demigods. This Krishna is the source of all incarnations. This Krishna is the source of Narayan and the Purushas. This Krishna is my Lord and Master, and I am his eternal servant. And so this is the power of Prabhupada's wonderful, wonderful teachings. We could apply a similar analysis to other phrases that Prabhupada uses precisely and consistently to clarify what would otherwise be ambiguous. Tamal Krishna Maharaj analyzes his phrase, devotional service for bhakti, but not only for bhakti. Prabhupada uses devotional service. So bhakti, how would we translate it? Love, devotion, feeling, sentiment. But for Prabhupada, it's devotional service. And when he meets other phrases in the Bhagavad Gita, like Buddhi Yoga, it's devotional service. Karma Yoga, it's devotional service. These other things that cause confusion because they become vague and ambiguous. Prabhupada repeats consistently devotional service. And so we get clarity. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I am to engage in devotional service. And when, and we get this over and over again because Prabhupada's translating other terms that could speak to devotional, could speak to bhakti, he translates it as devotional service. Something active, something engaged. Not just a feeling or a sentiment, but it's devotional activity, devotional service. We could also analyze Krishna consciousness. This is the Krishna consciousness movement, and we need to become Krishna conscious. That's another phrase that Prabhupada uses over and again. And there has been analysis of this in the, not by Tamal Krishna Maharaj, but by Ravindra Swarup Prabhu in the position paper, the Founder Acharya. Another analysis that I haven't seen done, but would also be very interesting, is Back to Godhead. Prabhupada called his magazine Back to Godhead. And you and I, because we're Prabhupada's followers, disciples of his disciples, we've learned Krishna consciousness through Prabhupada's disciples. We also speak about back to Godhead, and he went back to Godhead, she went back to Godhead. When we read the Bhagavatam and some king passes away and they went back to Godhead. It might say mukti, it might say perfection, might say liberation, but when we read and learn and hear and think through Prabhupada, we understand back to Godhead, because that is that's the supreme liberation or the supreme perfection. It becomes unambiguous and clear with Prabhupada's consistent and wonderful teaching. So we are most fortunate. Before Prabhupada, so much confusion in reading Shastra. We have the benefit of learning Shastra from Prabhupada, through Prabhupada, after Prabhupada, through his books and through his followers, his disciples, and we get this clarity that was otherwise unachievable. Krishna consciousness becomes clear and simple, and some might criticize that nuance gets glossed over, and in a sense, maybe. But the wonderful thing about what Prabhupada does is he makes something simple but takes us to the highest understanding. It's simplified, and yet it's the highest interpretation or the highest realization of, you know, what would otherwise be levels of understanding. And so this is Prabhupada's genius, and as we take shelter of these teachings, we do feel solace, and we do feel our heart is resolved, not fully resolved. We'll always feel the sadness that we don't have Prabhupada's personal company or association, but we also feel inspired when we engage in reading his teachings, in hearing his teachings, his recorded lectures, films, hearing the teachings of his followers and his disciples, a particular flavor of presenting Krishna consciousness. And we also feel inspired when we share this with others as well. Prabhupada was so dedicated to spreading Krishna consciousness far and wide. So I'll conclude. There are any reflections or questions? We have a few minutes. Yeah, okay, so I'll go to you because you wanted to ask something earlier.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hi, Paul.
Thank you for the wonderful class. Very, very nice points you draw from this nice verse. One question I have. We spoke in the majority in separation. We spoke about the separation aspect. But separation can only happen if there's
union.
Union. So how can we, as a Prabhupada Nugas or Rupa Nugas, consider ourselves to have union with Prabhupada? You mentioned with these books, but that's the, I'm going to be a bit of a devil's advocate, that's the philosophical union with Prabhupada's purports. And how can we as his followers have that personal union with Prabhupada? How can we know him as a person? Because, I mean, you see Prabhupada's disciples, what they had with Prabhupada. Can we achieve this as the followers of Prabhupada? Can we have the same union?
Yeah, thank you. A really nice question. So separation is predicated on union. How would we feel separation if we haven't had union already? I'm not sure that I necessarily accept the predicate. We can feel separation having not had the union and feeling that I've missed this chance or this opportunity. Narottam Das Thakur, he had that in relation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, having never met them, but having heard of them and having heard of their activities. And so the Bhagavatam emphasizes that more, the hearing of the person and their glory and their qualities and their activities as what helps us to love them. Rukmini Devi heard of Krishna from Narada Muni. And she decided, when Narada Muni was speaking of Krishna to her father, the king of Vidarbha, and she decided, I will marry no one but Krishna. And she sent a messenger asking Krishna to come and kidnap her. She fell in love with Krishna just by hearing of him. And the Bhagavatam is giving us that promise. You can experience Krishna and you can fall in love with Krishna by hearing of him, hearing of his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. And this is the offer of the Bhagavatam, that Krishna has left, but he's still available to you. He's still available to every soul in this age of Kali. Through the Vaishnavas, we need the Vaishnavas to give us that teaching, that we will hear from them. So that's the promise of the Bhagavatam, and I will offer that is also the promise of this stanza here of Bhaktivinod Thakur, that the Vaishnava is still available to us through hearing and acting. So you hear and then we apply as well. We serve, and through the service then the realization comes and the affection deepens. Can it be, you asked a second part to your question, was can it be to the same extent as devotees who had personal association with Prabhupada? And again, I will say yes. Definitely those who had Prabhupada's personal association were very special and very lucky. And that can never be taken from them. The special mercy that they all received. So that is their credit, and they will always hold that badge, having had seen Prabhupada or having had Prabhupada's personal association. But the promise of the possibility and opportunity to connect with him and have a very deep, loving relationship with him through his teaching, that still holds, even to a greater extent than those who had his personal association. Oh, because it's dynamic, it's active. Prabhupada is there. When you say his name and you pray, there is a reciprocation. I'll give you a nice example. When we were preaching with Indrajuna Maharaj in Melbourne, Australia, we had done a festival tour across the country. And the conclusion of our festival was in Melbourne. And we had a couple of festivals there. And Indrajuna Maharaj, sometimes he asks this question. Govinda might have heard him ask it also in Poland. Sometimes he'll say, do you think the Acharyas know that we're doing this? Do you think Prabhupada knows that this festival happened today and so many hundreds of people or thousands of people heard the holy name and took prasadam? And we'll say, yes, Maharaj, Prabhupada knows. Prabhupada is pleased. So he asks that question often. And so we were in Melbourne and Maharaj had asked that question. He was staying in Prabhupada's room. That was not his room, but another room where he slept. There is a room that's dedicated to Prabhupada in the Melbourne temple. There's another room where he had slept on one of his visits. That's a sannyasi guest room. So he was sleeping there and feeling Prabhupada's mercy, and he was asking this question, do you think Prabhupada knows? And so he got this wonderful response. That day on Harinam, Indrajuna Maharaj saw someone across the road and he said, go and tell that man that he's invited to the festival. And so he came over. The devotee went and gave him the invitation, but then he came over and wanted to speak to Maharaj and he said, I saw your guru in 26 Second Avenue, 1966 or 7. And he described the 26 Second Avenue storefront temple and Prabhupada's teaching. He wasn't a practicing Vaishnava. He never surrendered. But he remembered seeing Prabhupada, and he was here reminding us of Prabhupada by his company, because he had seen Prabhupada himself. And that night at the festival, Indrajuna Maharaj likes to stand by the book table, and encourage people to buy books, and he says, I will sign a dedication for you if you'll buy books. People line up to receive his dedication. And one person came forward and said, I saw your guru at Bhaktivedanta Manor. I was a child. My parents came to the temple, and someone said Prabhupada was visiting. We were taken up to his room, and your guru, Prabhupada, gave me sweets. After the festival, someone else came forward and said, I saw your guru when he visited Melbourne. This is all on the same day. He gave a talk at La Trobe University, and he spoke about this. And some of the students, they were quite rowdy. They were a bit offensive. But all three people were in one day telling Indrajuna Maharaj that they had seen and met Prabhupada. How does that happen? After he asked the question, do you think Prabhupada knows? Do you think Prabhupada is blessing the service? Prabhupada comes to us through strangers, not externally, not Vaishnavas. But Prabhupada comes. He has his ways of reciprocating and being present to us. That night, Indrajuna Maharaj had the most wonderful dream that he was traveling with Prabhupada and he was Prabhupada's personal servant. So, yes, absolutely. You can feel Prabhupada and have his association even now in a most wonderful and profound way, more so than those who had the opportunity to see Prabhupada. They were saying, I saw Prabhupada. They didn't surrender. They saw him, but they didn't take advantage fully of the opportunity. But 40 years later, they were there to, or however many years later, they were there to remind one of Prabhupada's followers of his spiritual master and to reassure him, even if they didn't know it, to reassure him that Prabhupada was blessing his service. One more question, because I'm over time. Last question, comment, just because you had your hand raised earlier.
Harishnava, thank you for the wonderful class. My question is regarding when we say Krishna Bhakta Viraha, so this separation has, you can say, different effects or different symptoms in the class of devotee, because we have the Uttama Adhikari, the Madhyama Adhikari.
Sure.
Because in Bhagavatam there's example or there's a pastime of Bharat Maharaj, who was a very great devotee, but when he got separated from the devotees association and went to the forest, he kind of left Krishna consciousness a bit, and he got distracted.
Yep.
He got distracted with the deer and stuff. So, based on what level of devotee he is or a person is, they'll have different effects of having separation from Krishna's devotees. Is that the case?
Sure. Yeah, that's a nice insight. So, although we honor and love all devotees, there is also discernment in understanding that there are different levels of spiritual advancement. And there are different ways that this is defined, sometimes in terms of how much they understand Shastra and can respond to critiques. So that's section of Chaitanya Charitamrita where the Mayavad sannyasis of Prakashananda Saraswati are challenging Lord Chaitanya. And there Kaviraj Goswami defines Kanishta Madhyama Uttama in terms of some have faith that they don't know the scriptures, some know the scriptures, but they have faith, but they can't really explain. But then others, they have faith, they know the scriptures, and they can defeat, they can make sound arguments. So that's one definition of Kanishta Madhyama Uttama. Others, there are other definitions in Upadeshamrita. My favorite definitions are when the devotees of Saptagram, they approach Lord Chaitanya, they're having darshan with him, and it's the end of Rath Yatra. They're going back to Bengal, and they say, Lord Chaitanya, any final instruction for us? And Lord Chaitanya says, serve Vaishnavas. And they say, who is a Vaishnava? And Lord Chaitanya says, anyone who says Krishna's name once is a Vaishnava. And so they go back. A year later, they come, they're with Lord Chaitanya for 4 months, Rath Yatra, and at the end, they have a personal darshan, and they say, Lord Chaitanya, any personal instruction for us? And he says, serve Vaishnavas. They say, who is a Vaishnava? They say, anyone who is consistently chanting the holy name regularly each day. That is a Vaishnava. Like your initiated or aspiring initiated devotee. Third year, devotees come to Lord Chaitanya and they're having that final darshan and they say, any instruction? And Lord Chaitanya says, what does he say? Serve Vaishnavas. And they say, who is a Vaishnava? And Lord Chaitanya says, anyone who when you see them, you remember Krishna. That's a Vaishnava. And so, therefore, our acharyas explain, Kanishta, someone who says Krishna's name once, Madhyama, someone who's practicing, and Uttama, someone who walks around and reminds or distributes Krishna to others just by their being seen. People remember Krishna. So yeah, we have that discernment. It's there in our shastras. And so the more advanced devotee, the more our affection will be, the more we will receive Krishna from them, and we will feel Krishna in their presence, and so the separation will also be greater. Nice insight. Thank you all so very much. It's always an honor and a pleasure to share with you and to have your association here in Bhaktivedanta Manor. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhaktarinda Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.